turn to Daniel 9. We'll be looking there in a moment. But first, I wanted to give a bit of an introduction to something you're going to hear us teach on in this time for about the next 5 to 6 weeks. So after several months of prayer and consideration, the elders have decided to make some minor changes to our time of confession. That's this time right now. And so, as I said, in preparation for that, we're going to be teaching over the next 5 to 6 weeks during our time here about some of those changes. And we're going to teach on a couple different topics to give us better understanding and to prepare our hearts for what we trust will be a God-glorifying, edifying, and unifying time, and some minor shifts in our time of confession. And just to, at the outset, tell you specifically what these changes are. Firstly, that in addition to our time of personal silent confession, which we do at the end of this time, right? We have a silent time of personal confession. We're going to be adding a corporate prayer of confession that we will recite together. And this corporate prayer of confession will be made available in advance in the order of worship that we send out in advance every week on email. Secondly, we're going to be incorporating a new posture of prayer to our service by kneeling for those who are able, and during our prayer times of corporate and personal confession. And our current plan is to begin these changes on May 7th. So as I said, that gives us 5 to 6 weeks to prepare and to teach on those. So with that in mind, this morning I want to provide an introductory teaching on corporate confession. Corporate confession of sin, because we're going to begin a corporate confession of prayer. So Daniel 9, I want to read verses 3 through 7. This is a prayer of Daniel. Daniel 9, verses 3 through 7. Then I set my face towards the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and princes, and to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, to those near and those far off and all the countries which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness with which they have committed against you. So when we gather for corporate worship, like we are right now today, you know that we first begin with a call to worship, with which Pastor Shuiso just did. It's a recognition of God's holiness. And we declare that this worship that we're entering into now is all for him. Right? But then we quickly move to a time of confessing our sins, our time of confession. And this is very important. It's very important that we start our service in this way by first humbling ourselves before him so that we can rightly orient our hearts in truth towards his grace. Now, we know what confession is in general, don't we? Confession is this recognition, this acknowledgement of our sin that leads to repentance. And the scripture tells us this confession cannot just be an inward consideration to ourselves, but must be outward as well, right? David in Psalm 32 says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. And James calls us to confess to one another. And so in this kind of calling out of our sin comes conviction and repentance over sin. And a part of this, in our time of confession each week, we bring the word, and usually we call that the exhortation. But it's really a time of bringing us to a point where our hearts are ready through the teaching of the scripture to confess our sins. And then we have a time of silent personal confession. which we're going to continue to do. And this is important because, right, it gives space for every Christian here, every individual, to personally recognize and acknowledge and forsake and repent of sins privately before God. And what we'd like to look at today, and what we're adding to our service, is this time of corporate confession, where we will declare together, or we will confess together. Now, you might ask, how can we corporately confess our sins? I mean, we've probably all sinned in different ways this past week, right? Well, the scripture clearly tells us that we must recognize that sin is not simply a personal problem. Sin is common to all people, not just here in this church, but all over the earth. We admit that we're all sinners. And there's numerous examples throughout the scripture of corporate confessional prayer. Today I just pulled one from Daniel 9, but there's numerous. And we're going to look at the corporate confessional prayer of Daniel that he makes here for the people of Israel. Now first we see that there's an acknowledgement, right? That renouncing of their corporate sins as the people of God. Daniel turns toward God with lament. He's heavy-hearted. He's declaring the sin, not just of himself, but of the whole Israelite people, as a whole nation, as it were, right? As a covenant-redeemed unit, just like God refers to us as the body of Christ in the New Testament, the people of God. And so Daniel recognizes that sin has effects that reach much farther than even personal present situations. Right? Daniel is called to bear the covenant responsibility of the covenant people of God. And here, in her rebellion, as it were, against God, Israel has broken their covenant. They have sinned. They have transgressed the relationships with God year over year, generation over generation. And so Daniel calls for corporate confession in this prayer. God calls on his people to repent as a whole, as a body, right? So Daniel says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord. And yes, all Israel has transgressed your law. It's the spiritual connectivity of our covenant God among his people. We bear and receive the blessings and responsibility together as the people of God. Because the covenant has always been between God and his people, not between God and disparate individuals. Another way to consider this is to remember that any of us is not a perfect representation of covenant faithfulness. We have all sinned. And we know our sin affects one another. It's that covenantal connectivity described in 1 Corinthians 12. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. And so, accordingly, a corporate confession is a humble acknowledgement of the sins of us together, declaring that no one is without sin. And as we corporately confess our sins as a church, our hearts are reminded of how we are part of this sin. Now, corporate confession, it's really an expression of standing together with the people of God. That's what we're doing as we begin this practice. Notice how Daniel says in verse 11, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. And that's interesting for Daniel to say, isn't it? Because we know Daniel obeyed God in many ways. In chapter 1, he refused to eat meat sacrificed to idols. In chapter 6, he refused to pray to anyone but God. But Daniel knew two things that are very important that caused him to declare his corporate solidarity with the people of God. First of all, he knew he was part of Israel. And he couldn't undo that connection. He was one of the people of God. And secondly, he knew he's not without sin himself. His personal disobedience, in whatever form it came, contributed to the guilt of all of Israel. So Daniel declared in unity, "We have refused to obey your voice." Now, our culture is very opposite of this idea, isn't it? In fact, our hearts are as well. Our hearts are pretty self-focused and individualistic, commonly causing us to think that as Christians, it's just us and God. But we have to remember that we are part of God's people. There's one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. And similarly to Israel, as Christians, we are called to bear one another's burdens as part of this covenant family. Our brother, Pastor Shuiso, is teaching through the book of Galatians, and you remember how that book starts, right? The Apostle Paul says to this whole region of churches. Remember, Galatia wasn't just to one church, it was to a whole region of churches. He says this: "I marvel that you are turning away so soon to a different gospel." Literally, "I marvel that you all are turning away." All of you, right? So if you have the King James, it says ye. You all, y'all. Y'all are turning away. He didn't single people out. Did you notice that? The churches of Galatia, we know that there were certainly some individuals that were probably more deceived to a different gospel than others. But their covenant relationship in the Lord held that they were all responsible to repent together, because this sin shaped, it defined their church. Their church is there. It's how Paul looks at the churches of Galatia and says they've all been deceived to a different gospel. Similarly, we see this kind of language in the seven churches of Revelation, don't we? Christ really summarizes each church's corporate sin, right? Their corporate responsibility for which they needed to repent as an entire church. We have all sinned together, and we should desire to confess it together, corporately as one body. Now, recognize that in a corporate prayer of confession, you may not sense that you have particularly and directly participated in those sins. But we must recognize the pervasiveness of sin in our hearts, right? For example, perhaps you've never murdered anyone, but you have very likely gotten angry in your heart at a brother or sister. Perhaps you've never committed adultery, but it's very likely you may have lusted over others in your heart. And so in corporate confession, we confess that we all have this unifying problem of sin. We share in this together. But it's important to remember that we are not assuming the guilt of sins we have not committed. Let me say that again. In corporate confession, we are not assuming the guilt of sins we have not committed. Rather, in our corporate confession, we recognize that our sin contributes to the sin of others in this corporate body. And we simply have to understand that oneness that we share. I know it's foreign to us all. But the purpose of corporate confession, then, is not just a listing out of sins and saying, well, all of us have sinned here in different ways. No, that's not what it is. It's saying we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And so in this way, corporate confession is unifying. It's very unifying, and that's one reason that your elders are bringing it into the service. We acknowledge the sins we're susceptible to and that we have may contributed to together as a body. And if we can grasp this, you see, it does so much for unity. Because in this body, we're going to sin against one another. We're going to hurt one another. We know that. And we get mad at one another sometimes. But in a humble understanding of a corporate oneness, we realize we're on the same team. We have the same Lord. None of us is perfect. And together we have transgressed. One illustration would be that of a sports team. Perhaps after a sports team has suffered a devastating loss, you might hear one of the players say something like this: "Oh, we lost that game badly. Yeah, our pitching was sloppy, our batting couldn't connect, and some of us infielders were just slow to tag. But we'll do better next time. We're getting better every game." And then you find out that that player that said that actually had a pretty good game himself. In fact, he hit a home run in the game. But the team still lost. And that player understands that the team is one. There's such corporate solidarity, a unity, a oneness, an identification, that in his words, he takes responsibility for the errors and confesses them publicly: "We lost the game." Brothers and sisters, how much more are we connected as one in Christ? As Daniel said, we have sinned. We recognize our sins. The sins like those that manifested themselves in Israel, in Corinth, in Galatia. We remember our covenant body unity and corporately confess our sins before God. And after we confess, may we corporately then remember the redemption, the hope, the grace of our God, together to enter in to worship, glorifying him. So, just in summary, this corporate confession that we're going to begin in a matter of weeks here, it really sets the table so that we can come to our Lord with a clear, unified heart in harmony as the body, so that we can declare his love to one another, serve one another, encourage one another, and be God's corporate, unified church, the bride of Christ, saved together, confessing together, repenting together, growing together, and glorifying him together. Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, we thank you that you have saved your people, that you have called your people out, and that Christ has paid the price of redemption for us, that the Holy Spirit has applied that redemption to us as your covenant people. Oh God, as we now learn and consider this corporate confession, Father, we remember of the sin that is present in our hearts, that is present in us as a unit, as a team, as it were, as a covenant body, and we desire and long to confess these to you. Oh, Father, teach us this more and show us what you have for your people. And we take a moment now to individually and personally confess our sins to you.